Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the new media show. I want to welcome you back. It's been a couple of weeks since we did a show, largely because I was on vacation. But Rob, aloha. How you doing?
Doing fine. We're still here. Things are still podcasting. That's always a good thing. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to see that you're able to spend some time with your family and go to the West Coast. And I don't know. So where did you go around the country? Why don't you tell everybody?
Well, I'll tell you that in a second. I don't want to leave Dan hanging too long. Everyone, we've got Dan Franks on from Podcast Movement, and we're going to be talking about that this morning. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I feel like I'm part of the welcoming committee, welcoming you guys back.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, it was a good vacation. My son was participating in the AYSO National Soccer Tournament in Riverside. So my wife went out 3 or 4 days early, maybe 5 days early, and basically did this true soccer mom thing for until I got there on the morning of July 4th. And then couple more days of soccer stuff, and then we went to Disneyland for 2.5 days, and that was a blast. The crowds weren't bad. I think the longest we ever stayed in a line was about 30 minutes, and that was an exception. It really had a great time, but I tell you what I enjoyed the most was when we left Disneyland and did the road trip. We went up to Vallejo outside of San Francisco to go to Six Flags. Imagine two and a half days at Disneyland, the next day at Six Flags. So, you know, Six Flags, a coaster park. So we had a great time there, and then bounced into San Francisco for a couple of days. But the drive from L.A. up to Vallejo really brought back memories. You know, back in the early 90s or so, I lived in Lemoore, California, which is in the middle of San Joaquin Valley. And when I was stationed there in the Navy, and it just, I was telling the kids about the fog and the, you know, the farmland and, you know, everything that's going on with the water crisis in that area. And so we had I think it was good for, I don't know, maybe I bored the kids. I don't know. They could have been in the back seat with their mouth wide open asleep, but I had fun. And whoever has fun on a 6-hour road trip is kind of weird. But, you know, in Hawaii, you can get in your car and drive all day and end up back in your driveway. So, for me, it was a good time, just to get on the road and, you know, how should we say it, slightly exceed the speed limit and,
there you go. But pedal to the metal, a little bit there.
Yeah. But you know, San Francisco, I haven't been there in years and I've been there for business, but just, you know, boom, boom, you know, being bada boom around, there's a lot of stuff to see in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I mean, you could spend a week there and not even cover it all. But anyway, that's enough fun vacation. Had a great time. Glad I'm back. It's time to talk about podcast stuff. And but Rob, how you been?
Doing okay. Doing all right. So it's been an interesting week, that's for sure. And be great to talk about other tech stuff here at some point during the show as well, because there's definitely a lot of stuff that happened here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know we want to talk about the podcast movement, but I just want to ask Dan and I guess you and both, aren't you? I'm just seeing this like renaissance of people. I mean, just looking at some of the communities. You know, some of the stuff kind of I roll my eyes. I'm like, my God, we've cut this 50 times in 10 years. But I'm just seeing this new influx of people trying to assert themselves into, you know, where it looks like we have a new, I guess for a better word, a group of people trying to assert themselves as leaders. And I think that's good. And it's kind of interesting. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I've noticed when I working with all, you know, different potential sponsors and vendors, there's so many new products and services coming into the space right now. Everyone, I think, is recognizing what's going on and really trying to grab a foothold. Just all kinds of technologies and products that either didn't exist or they're trying to make better. So there are people that have been in video space or just web space for a long time, but they're now trying to make that move over to the podcast space. So I'm really seeing that portion of it.
And I actually have seen some stuff where some business models that are being tried again. And yeah. That to me, cracks me up. There was Dave Jackson talked about some new company coming on that's offering free audio and video hosting. And I'm like, remember?
We've been there before.
Yeah, yeah. I remember December 22nd, a certain number of years ago, when a company said, we're shutting down in 3 days. And
yeah, exactly.
You know, and they had the free model. So, you know, free doesn't pay salary and free doesn't pay bills. And it's, yeah, it's a tough row to hoe. I wish him luck. We'll probably talk about it more later. But what's happening with the, and I guess that's a, when we cut Frank, Dan loose later, folks, we'll kind of dig into some of these other kind of topics as well. But Dan, what's going on with the podcast movement, man? You guys are, this thing's growing. Last time we talked, you were in one venue. Now you're in another.
Yeah, and we've about doubled or tripled easily the number of people that are going to be there. So it's an exciting change. It's a big change for sure. Like you said, last time we talked, we were thinking we might have 250, 300 attendees there. We were in a much smaller venue, a venue that quite honestly wouldn't have given the best experience. But in terms of a first-year conference that there were maybe somewhat lower expectations from, based on, you know, starting it through a crowdfunding campaign and things like that, would have been acceptable. But now we've just been able to, because of the increased registrations early and the increased number of people from the community wanting to get involved, we've really been able to grow it a lot bigger than we thought we ever would for a first year, and all so far as to say that we're already putting plans for 2015 together because of the demand and the number of people that, because of the late announcement of the date and the late kind of the later we were able to get the word out about it, just because the podcasting space is so huge and it's hard to reach all those little pockets of podcasters. A lot of people aren't able to make it to this one that are wanting to already know about 2015 so they can put it on their calendar. So that's something that we didn't ever expect to need to be doing this early in the game that we are now. So it's been really exciting, a lot of work as well.
So what is the actual numbers right now? Do you have an attendee count, people that have paid for the conference fee to come?
Yeah, so paid, we're somewhere about 525. Wow. Right now is the number of people that are paid registrants. And then, of course, you know, you've got some, most of your speakers aren't included in that number, and they'll be there. And we're selling tickets still, you know, multiples on a daily basis, even this late in the game. So registration, I wouldn't be surprised to see 575, 600, how many of those people show up. I've heard maybe 85 to 90% from other conference organizers. So, you know, I easily will have over 500 people there and hoping to push 600.
Rob, what do you think of that number?
I think it's good. I think it's fantastic. And I think, you know, your timing for this event was perfect because, you know, the New Media Expo, there wasn't a New Media Expo this year. So,
right.
So I think that you kind of slipped into an opportunity to build an event that I think is going to rival that. And it's so focused on podcasting that it, I think it's only going to grow. I mean,
you know, the interesting thing was I talked to Rick, because I'm kind of in a dilemma, because we've been holding the podcast awards ceremony at New Media Expo. And typically in about a month from now, I would start prepping to, you know, do this year's podcast awards. And I'm kind of at a crossroads on what to do. I know he has an announcement pending. I don't know, maybe announced it and I missed it. I can't say where or when. If he announces the date, I think he's going to announce. If I do the awards in October, November, normally the ceremony would be in January. If I have to push that out a couple of months for the ceremony, it just kind of gets weird. So yeah. I don't know what to do this year. And, It's a big challenge for me, because this will be the big one. This will be the 10th annual for us. So or is it the 9th? I don't know, 9th or 10th. But that for me is, you know, and if I had known that Rick was going to announce so late, I may have opted to have started early and brought the awards to Podcast Movement. But you know, what can you do? You're at this point, you have no other choice to soldier on. So you're now in downtown Dallas, at the West End Galleria. I guess that's where you guys are going to be, huh?
Yeah. So it's about 5 or 6 miles north of downtown Dallas. It's considered North Dallas, but it's still Dallas proper. Just a quick shot to downtown. It's a little further or a little closer to downtown, I should say, from our original venue. Yeah, it's the gallery is kind of a central point where it's a mall and a hotel and a conference center all interconnected. So it's a really cool place, a unique venue for us. I know our issue before at the old venue was there's no hotel nearby, but it was too close for anybody to necessarily want to drive from the nearest hotel to the conference venue. None of the hotels in the area were big enough to house everybody. So we kind of accomplished all those things and also beating the heat by having everything in one place for an August event in Dallas. So that was the most exciting part of moving to the West End Galleria, is that people will be able to stay in the same place, walk to the events. There's that mall with all kinds of different restaurants and bars built in. So it's a really cool place for everything to kind of be housed there.
Well, and also I know you've just firmed up the schedule, and I'm looking here. How many tracks? You're running how many tracks at an hour? You're running.
So we've got four rooms going on. Other than the keynote sessions at the beginning and end of each day, we're having four rooms running simultaneously. One of which will at all times be what we're calling like the panel room. There's always going to be a panel going on in that room. So it'll have a little different setup than the normal, podium and the open stage. It'll have almost of a round table type setup with chairs and handheld microphones. So sitting around that table talking about the different topics for that session. So we think that's kind of a cool, unique, almost a dedicated space just for that.
Well, that's going to be cool. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Rob, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to probably spend a few minutes to kind of run through the agenda a little bit and the schedule and kind of talk about, what your focus is for each of the tracks and what the topics are going to be. Because I'm sure that there's a lot of people watching this that, are trying to decide here at last minute if they're going to go. And it would be great to kind of get some insight into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're really trying to firm up right now, because we get the submissions from the speakers that we've selected, and they give us the more specific topics of what they're talking about. And maybe they say, well, this is an advanced topic. And then we read through it and we're like, okay, we really don't think that's advanced. We really need to hone in on that. So right now, now that our speakers are set, the schedule of where they're going to be is set, it's really about let's properly identify these towards whether they're an intermediate presentation or an advanced presentation or beginner or obviously panel would cover a little bit of everything. But that's our big thing right now so now we have the schedule, people can see what's there, but we have all these people that think they're doing advanced or that maybe they think they're beginner. So now we're trying to almost spread those evenly and really ask them to point theirs a little more towards an advanced target audience or a beginner target audience based on what we see, because their perception might be a little different. So that's our big thing right now that we have the whole schedule firmed up. And I think we have a good mix. We have a number of more what I would call technical, editing or advanced production, things like that. But we also have a good variety of, we're talking to you guys right now, putting together a panel on podcast networks and different size podcast networks or maybe is a podcast network right for you? That type of open roundtable discussion. So we think things like that are just as valuable as getting real technical. And we have to keep in mind that we've talked to people that have been in podcasting for 15 years that are wanting to learn something. At the same time, we've got people who have been podcasting for, or haven't even started yet, and they're going to learn something as well. So we're really trying to not please everybody. So that's the hardest thing right now. And that's why our main focus is really splitting up that advanced from that beginner.
I'm looking, Rob, if you go to look at the schedule, we start right off on, Friday the 15th with the pre-conference networking mixer. They're having that right in the hall, conference hall lobby. And then they even have they're having a keynote dinner with the folks that are keynoters. And I think that was part of the folks that paid a higher amount on the Kickstarter get to go to that. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that was correct.
And then there's a comedy show that's going on as well with my good friend Clinton. So he's going to be on. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with Grant, but Comedy Forecast, Clinton Alvord. What show does Grant do?
So he's throwing toasters, I believe, is what he used to do. And he does a lot of, I think, like, Jim Henson type work is what he's done in the past. So he's kind of a puppeteer and an entertainer. And he podcasts about that kind of stuff. So it's going to be, you know, a clean comedy show they've got going on. And just to, we have that conference hall, which all the different rooms kind of surround the lobby area. And that lobby is where the vendor tables will be set up. We'll have a stage there, and that's where this is going to go on. So we think it's cool. We'll have that stage with different things going on throughout the day. And on Friday night, that's what they're going to be doing there.
Nice. Then on August 16th, which is Saturday, start off pretty early. Gosh, we're going to have to get up real early. keynote with Chris Brogan at 8:15. Another one with, and I apologize, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Sarvanas Rao.
Yeah, Srinivas. So Srini for short, but we keep it. He's keeping it official with the name.
And then from basically that takes you up to 10, so two keynotes in a row, and then starting with the sessions at 10:30, Rock Your Talk and Profit Big, using YouTube to help you with Rob Sestino, TBD with Chase Reeves. Some sort of session, I guess. I guess he hasn't got his title down.
Yeah, still working on that.
And then my session with, it'll be one media buyer. So it's going to be kind of a wrap and chat. So it's a meet the advertising media buyer. The second guy I wanted to bring out is not able to make it. But well, I'll have one big name. Rob, you'll know who this is. It's Marshall's going to be the, it's coming out from Ad Results Incorporated. He'll be out.
Oh, great.
And then looking here, and then at 11:30, so about 10 minutes between sessions, talking about when your podcast, a lot of these people I don't know, so I apologize. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, just talk about the sessions here. When your podcast becomes your brand, the impact of any unexpected success. And then there's another panel with Chris Brogan, Cliff Ravenscraft, and Jim Munchback. And then there's a session on, so you think you can teach, learn how to share your message and experience your podcast. So pretty broad strokes of sessions here. Looks like a great panel at 11:30 talking about mastering your podcast launch. Boy, I tell you, if that turns out to be, that one will be interesting, because this is the thing I end up consulting with people the most on, is fixing people's stuff after they've launched.
Yeah.
So hopefully new podcasters or people will be, you know, they'll have some good information there, what to do before you hit record, which is good. And then, wow. So is there even a lunch break? It looks like there's
Yeah. So that, 12:20 is when the lunch break officially starts, and then 1:30 is when it ends. So that conference hall lobby stage during the lunch break, there's going to be stuff going on in the conference hall still. So while people grab their lunch and they're eating, there's still something going on. So both days there's an hour and 10 minute lunch in the middle. And then each morning and afternoon, there's also like a 30 minute break where there'll be stuff on that stage as well. So we're trying to keep things going on for people that want things to continue to go on without there being, you know, sessions all the time in all the rooms.
Yeah. Are you guys going to have like vendors in the, you know, food vendors right there in the conference hall lobby, or how's that going to work for 500 of us descending on restaurants and so forth?
Yeah. So within the mall, there's a huge number of restaurants. So the hotel has a couple restaurants that are right there. Just outside the conference hall is the mall, which is where the food court is. So, you know, you go up the escalator and you have 7 restaurants. You go down the escalator and you have 6 restaurants to choose from. So it's going to be that. We would prefer to have some sort of, you know, cash food bar, much like New Media Expo did.
Right.
But the problem is, because the hotel has all those restaurants that are probably going to be cheaper than what we could offer right there, the hotel wasn't willing to, they don't see success in doing that. So that was one of the things we kind of had to give up. But we feel like there'll be enough right there anyways that people will have a lot of options. So our big struggle right now is our goal is to be able to communicate to people that aren't familiar with the area like we are. Here's where you can go in 30 seconds or, you know, in a minute and have 7 different places to choose from.
Are they going to, obviously, you're going to be prepping the restaurants, because that's the big thing is are they actually like a typical food mall where you walk up and order, or are they actually sit down places?
So there's a combination. You know, it's a big enough mall where there's four or five sit down places right there, and probably 10 or 12 different fast food type places, and they're all kind of spread out. So we'll be doing in the conference program, and possibly even in the app that we're working on, have either a map or some sort of directory for all the different places to go to, so that people aren't spending their time searching. So these are the things we're working on at this point.
So during that hour, you're going to have a live podcast recording session with Michael O'Neill, and then back at it at 1:30 with regular sessions. They listen from their phone. Here's what to do about it. It's a session promoting your podcast with images. That's going to be a good one. That's smart. Promoting your podcast the right and unique way. That is probably an important thing. Then also there's a session with Justin Crossley at the same time. His is TBD. Then there's at 2:30 starts with project management for the podcaster, podcasting with your mobile device, 10 ways to podcast from average to amazing with Daniel Lewis, and then woman in podcasting panel. That's great. 3:50 to 4:40. It's good we're having the ladies have a dedicated session. I just we need more women podcasters.
And that's tough because definitely. When we first gathered, you know, started putting together who would be present, you know, presenters at Podcast Movement, almost everyone submitting things were men. So that's where we were kind of driving things. And then all of a sudden the women started coming to us, and it's tough. I don't know what it is. Do you guys think that there are just more men in podcasting? Is that what it is right now?
Oh, definitely. It's been that way since it started. But there's always been a solid group of women podcasters. It's just, and as you can see, you had you built a great panel here. So I think that there's a lot more women that could be pulled in. But I think that's a great start.
Then there's, you're moving on here. Boom, boom, boom. At 3:50, then it's Rob and mine. Rob, do you have another person for the panel, or is it just going to be you and me on the joining a podcast network?
So we have Dan Benjamin from 5x5. He told me he was going to be good to go on it. I'm just waiting for the final confirmation, but all signs point to Dan Benjamin from 5x5 Network down in Austin, not too far from here, being a part of that as well.
Cool.
Yep.
And then a session by Lynette Young, and then there's a WordPress session, 13 WordPress Mistakes Podcasters Make. Then a keynote with Evo Terra, Saturday night party at the House of Blues. Here's a suggestion for your party.
Okay.
And tell the DJ not to blow us out. We want to be able to talk.
So we will be good. So since it is at the House of Blues and it ends up being on the main stage there at the House of Blues in Dallas, so where, you know, big concerts go on, we felt like it would be a shame just to have some DJ pressing play on his MacBook doing the background music. So we've got some live performances that night that will be, he understands fully that he will be background music for the most part. And if people want to hear the performance more than chatting with each other, they can go up close, but there will be plenty of room for people to not get their eardrums blasted and actually hear one another talk. So that's a huge part of why we booked who we did.
Yeah, because you tell that to we've told that to people year after year after year, and guess what ends up happening? We end up getting blown out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and also the next day, you basically have lost your voice. So if
you're yelling,
a panelist, you can't talk. Right?
You're yelling to try to talk with people, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll try to keep that down. And just anyone who's listening, that House of Blues, that is in downtown Dallas. So it's about a 10-minute ride from there. And what we've done is we've booked 6 giant charter buses to do loops front between the hotel and the House of Blues nonstop. So no one has to worry about going down there and enjoying themselves. There you go. And everyone that gets in gets a free drink ticket. And there's going to be some complimentary food served there as well. And then, of course, the open bar, the cash bar, I should say. Not an open bar.
Right.
Cash bar. Big distinction. But, yeah, so we're excited about that as well.
Well, good. And that's perfect. With the buses back and forth, then you can partake and not worried about being in jail the next morning from driving while intoxicated. Of course, everyone, you know, here's Texas. You guarantee after 10 o'clock at night, 3/4 of the vehicles are on the road. People have been drinking, because I don't think they have a DUI policy in Texas.
On paper, we do. On paper.
I'm serious. But anyway, okay, so Sunday then, the 17th, start out real early with a breakfast with Chris Brogan. And that's how that was another Kickstarter thing, right?
Yeah, well, it was just a small thing we did where we ended up getting Chris on board. We had a small private breakfast that we sold some tickets to that went pretty quick. So that's what that was.
And then The Future Podcasting by Jamie Tardy. Who is she? I've never heard of her. Rob, do you know who she is?
Yeah, she does a podcast. I think it's about how to make
your
a million.
Favorite, it's your favorite type of podcast, Todd.
Yeah, it's...
She interviews millionaires. So it's not quite a get rich quick, but it's an interview show of people who are rich.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Interesting. So we'll that'll be an interesting keynote because we'll get a different perspective for sure. And then there's a future podcasting panel.
So follow it up with that, right?
Yep. So that's John Lee Dumas, Greg Hickam, Tim Page, and Nick Unsworth. And I feel like I'm lost because I'm, you know, so many of these names I don't know, and it's just, you know, different circles for sure here. Then there's a 950 to 1040 monetizing your message, 950 to 1040 audio podcast production in plain English, and then 950 to 1040 beyond hosting the 411 with Rob Walsh, then 1050 to 1140 for the love of the game. This is a sports panel. That's good because there are a lot of sports shows. 1050 to 1140, using offline interactions to increase online engagement with Lou Mangiello. We got Michael O'Neill at 1050. He's, any idea what he's going to talk about?
No, we're still working on that. We have some late comers to the giving us their stuff, so we're trying.
And then Jeffrey Powers, creating moving new podcast circles. That's probably something about G+, it sounds like. 11:40 to 12:40 podcaster Jeopardy in the
Lunch break.
Yeah, lunch break. Cool. This should be a good one. After the honeymoon panel. This is again all ladies. So is this a kind of a session about after you've started your show and what to expect, or?
Yeah, you can kind of the full spectrum of after you drop off new and noteworthy and your audience drops by half, and after maybe when things stop being as fun as they were for the first 6 or 7 weeks. So yeah. it'll be a good
one.
Good talk.
The art of
reality strikes at about the third or fourth episode. Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
The Art of Editing with Dave Jackson, Powerhouse Positioning, become the go-to expert in your market. That's probably a good one. How to Brand Yourself with Bacon. Okay. 1250 to 140. Advanced Audio Editing Techniques with Daryl Darnell, 150 to 240. Your Community Kindred Spirit, How and When to Build One. Getting A-list guests for your podcast panel. That's probably good. That's going to be, it's like a good panel. Get Rich with a Niche. It's So Much More Than Money with Gene Hammett. And then at 3 o'clock, 3 Things Your Interview Needs More Of and Why, 5 Tips, Tips and Hacks. Transform your content through powerful storytelling, and then 3 to 350 co-hosted podcast panel. Oh, that's good. So when you have co-host, and then wrap it up, Cliff Ravenscraft with the final keynote at 5 o'clock. So pretty full schedule.
Yeah. Very full. So,
and it looks to me too like more upper end. Panels than 101s. Looks like the a lot of the beginner stuff is on Sunday. Would you agree, or have you tried
It's tough to say, really. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of them are going to be have a little more appeal than what we try to target them in on, anyways. But I feel like there's a good mix, maybe.
Yeah, there's a good mix. Rob, what do you think about the mix?
Well, I think one thing...
It's hard to do this.
That I wanted to ask about it is, do you think that the 500 people that you have registered today are current podcasters, or can you tell whether or not they're current podcasters or they're people that maybe are thinking about podcasts? Because my gut is that this event is probably going to be mostly people that already have a podcast. Would that be true?
Yeah, I'd say at least 75% of the people there have podcasts going. But that's just purely from social interaction. People saying, I bought the ticket. I just started my podcast. Or I bought the ticket hoping to improve my podcast versus the smaller number that say, I bought the ticket because I'm hoping to get into podcasting. So that's really the only way to tell.
Gotcha. So I think it's good that you're going after, you know, higher level topics, because if they're current podcasters, they've already gotten off the launching pad.
Yep.
Now it's, you know, basically making what they do better. And I think you've definitely done that with the lineup of topics here.
Yeah, I agree. And if it's, you know, I would suspect the same, that you've got existing and current podcasters more than you have new. The new folks will tend to, you know, what I see at other events, they'll be local. You're going to get the most of the new folks are going to come will be local folks that can drive in.
Yeah.
Those will be the folks that will, but I don't think in order to go to the event, you have to have a full pass. So, you're not like, it's not like some, conferences where you can just go to the demo floor and talk with the vendors, this one here, but still the price is ridiculously low. It's still $229 after the fee, like $235 or something like that, but still ridiculously low for the actual, this is really cheap. I mean, for what you guys are putting on here, it sounds like Kickstarter money helped a lot, I'm sure. But how's the budget? You guys doing okay on the budget?
Yeah. So one of the biggest pieces of advice we've gotten from other people who organize conferences, and specifically our first year or early on in the conference organizing process, specifically Philip Taylor, he runs a financial bloggers conference. He lives close to me and has been running this conference of about 600, 700 attendees for the past 5 years. And he told us his biggest mistake early on was trying to make a lot of money opposed to reinvesting it to make that first year better.
Yeah.
So that we've taken that advice and really we're trying, our goal would be to break even or obviously fall a little bit on the black side of breaking even. But right now we're on pace to do that. We feel like as we sense that we're going to have a little bit more money, we're reinvesting in certain areas to make it a better experience. So if we hit our goal, we'll be right at break even. And I think right now we're definitely on pace to do that. So things are looking good. Like you said, the Kickstarter money was huge. That was probably a third of our sales came from Kickstarter. So that was really big. And we are seeing a increase in ticket sales. You know, June was a little slow just in those middle months. And as we get closer and as word gets out more and more, I'm still talking to people every day that are just now hearing about it just because it's hard to reach the far off niches of podcasting. But we're still seeing ticket sales come in and maybe even an uptick. So that's really exciting as well.
You know, it's the trying to reach the podcasters even, you know, I struggle with this every day when we send out a newsletter to our community. You know, we're mailing to 23,000 people or something. And if we get a 25% read on that newsletter, I'm like, woohoo, we did we did good. Because normally, you know, what people do is it's just like anything else. It comes in, they're like, delete, you know, and they may not even open it. So, email and social media and everything, it's tough. And then oftentimes I'll get emails like, from people, and it happens on a regular. Well, why didn't you tell us about this? I'm like, it's on our blog, it's in our social media, it was in the newsletter, it's on the website. We did tell you about it, you just didn't see it. And so, you know, it's, and I've also learned too in doing news mailings that if I could do five tweet length topics and keep them to 150 characters or so, we would probably get more people reading. If you do more than a paragraph on a topic, people are like, they're gone. They don't even read it. So, you know,
we're all bombarded with stuff from all of these, you know, social networking platforms. I mean, my inbox, my email, I've got like five, six email accounts, and
Yep.
Just trying to keep up with the flow, you know, the flow of information is I think a challenge for everybody right now.
And Dan, I'm sure everyone wants to talk to you too, don't they? They want to call you and talk to you on the phone about this. And you're like, I don't have time to talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, it's something that I didn't anticipate. So now I'm having to put all my calls, push all my calls for potential sponsors or people that are looking how they can use the conference to get better. Because I want to talk to everybody. Obviously, being a first-year conference, we need to build these relationships. So every Friday, that's my day, just to talk to people that want to talk to me. And then I'm pushing any interview requests and things like that to Wednesday. So these were unanticipated things and good problems to have, obviously. No complaints. But it was a little unanticipated.
Yeah. I run into this every day is, you know, everyone wants to talk to me and I just can't do it. And, you know, it sounds horrible, but I have to send emails. It's like, I apologize. I just do not have time to talk to you on the phone personally. Can we do this on email? And people get pissed, you know, they get upset about that. But, when you're dealing with volumes of people, it's just the way it is sometimes. You know, and then, you know, leaving a voicemail with someone today, people don't even listen to their voicemails. So you might as well just hang up as soon as that thing kicks a voicemail, just hang up and call back again. But anyway, everyone has the same issue. So how's the, hotel then with the numbers? The hotel's got to be pretty pleased.
They are. And that was our biggest concern going into this, because when we originally planned it, we didn't plan on necessarily sponsoring any hotels, or if we did, we weren't going to make deals with the hotels and guarantee certain numbers of rooms get sold. But when you do this event that is at the hotel, part of the deal is they'll give you the room for pretty cheap, but you know, the conference hall for pretty cheap, but you have to guarantee X number of hotel rooms will be sold. And that was our biggest thing, because if you don't sell those guaranteed number of rooms, you're coming out of pocket, which you might pay your food and beverage minimum in terms of how much you have to buy and food and alcohol throughout the weekend might be 10,000, but the number of rooms you need to sell might be 75 or 80,000. So that's where your big exposure is, you know, is if you're going to fill those rooms or not. So luckily, as of last week, we filled the number of rooms we needed to not have to come out of pocket, while still having a little gap of rooms available for the next couple of weeks before they go off sale. So up until July 31st, there should still be the discount rooms available. And then after that, it's kind of on your own, but we're in the black on that as well. Like I said, that was our biggest exposure as organizers, to having to come out of pocket with unexpected cash.
And it's nice if you can get a little headroom on that too, because if you have a few cancellations, then you're not going to be, you know, you won't be buttoned up against that, that number again. So yeah, very, very good. Now the airport's about 20 miles away. So I see you've got on the website some shuttle offerings, and also, of course, rental cars and so forth. But getting to, you know, Dallas is a pretty widespread. I think I'm going to just rent a car, probably sit in a parking lot for the entire time. But do you think, well, the checker is pretty cheap, $17 one way.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I'm not sure. It's not that far, since we have two airports in Dallas. So we have Love Field, which is going to be a little bit closer. It's more regional. So Southwest is the main airline that flies into there. But even DFW, it's not horrible, especially if someone is going to use Uber or something like that. I really feel like it's not cheap. I mean, it's not too expensive, but the hotel does have free parking, unlike a lot of city area hotels. Right. So people aren't going to take a hit on the parking, at least if they have something parked there.
Yeah, very good. So in your... Rob, I'm just asking all these questions. Go ahead. Okay. Did you have some stuff you wanted to ask Dan?
Well, I just wanted to ask, you stated just a few minutes ago that the things that you've been going through with this have kind of sparked you into thinking about the next event, right? And was just curious kind of the things that you've kind of learned through this process. I mean, you're getting close to getting into your first event. What things do you think you would do differently, like for the 2015 event, or how do you see kind of what you've learned so far kind of evolving into the second phase? You don't have to be very specific. I'm just kind of generally.
Yeah, I'm fine being as specific as I can come up with. The first thing was, the hardest part of this process was, we booked the majority of the presenters pretty early on. And, you know, not speaking about anyone in particular of the 30 or so people that we booked early on, but we didn't leave enough room for people to submit their sessions. And unfortunately, because of that, there was a lot of good sessions submitted that maybe in hindsight would have been better than some of the ones that we had already guaranteed spots to.
Right.
So, you know, we got, I think, 150 different submissions to speak, and some people submitted a couple different presentation ideas, but we had 10 spots to fill maybe and 150 people submitting. So going forward in terms of selecting the speakers, I think we won't be in such a huge rush to lock everyone in, but we'll make it that submission portion a little more of the total speakers. So that's the biggest thing to me, because we want that variety. And when people submit topics like that, we'll be able to. But being with the Kickstarter, we really did need that more people locked in, because they're going to help that Kickstarter go on. So that would be the biggest thing. And just some things with sponsors. We probably didn't consult with other event organizers enough in terms of what the sponsorship should have been priced, what should be available as sponsorships, those kind of things. So I think that's really where we'll be better next time in terms of offering sponsorships and maybe strategically aligning more with people that will help the Podcast Movement brand and also be beneficial to other podcast type sponsorships. So those two things immediately jump out to me.
Makes sense. And you know, the first year you're just trying to get things off the ground. Yep. And I do like though the, you know, here's what I've seen in the past, and my biggest complaint has been to Rick over New Media Expo is, you know, we spend a lot of money to come to the show, and when you pay for a booth, you know, the success of that booth is, you know, largely dependent upon foot traffic. And when the sessions are so far away from the show floor, it limits the number of limits the amount of foot traffic. So I like that you've got the vendor tables essentially kind of in the middle where people are going to be transgressing. And to me, that's more relaxed, laid back. And to me, that's actually higher value than being off in some 10 by 10 booth.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and from a value standpoint, I think, you know, the value there is definitely, it's definitely going to be more, because I don't want to be shoveled off someplace. So, you know, my only suggestion is as you move into next year's event, if you want to put the folks in the same location, that's great. If you up the price, fine. For me, that is, you know, I'd willing to pay more because I'm right there with the folks. And, you know, and sometimes the podcasters get annoyed, but you also got to pay the bills too. So, I think it's going to be, I think as long as you don't have to sequester the vendor tables off somewhere else, where we're like in a side room, that would be, to me, then that value just plummets.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, with the vendors, kind of on that vendor talk, I finally came to this realization yesterday when talking with a few more potential vendors. Our biggest thing right now are getting vendors that are used to appealing to people in the online world, getting them to be willing to and able to get in front of people. Because if you, in any other space that wasn't online, if you said, hey, here's 500 people that have already spent money, shown they're willing to spend money in your field of business, now here's a chance for a pretty decent price to get in front of them, that seems like a pretty easy sell in non-online business things. But to get these podcast companies that all they're ever focused on is reaching people online, to get them offline and in front of people, they're just not prepared for that. So
really?
Some of them, well, we've never done anything at a vendor booth before, or we wouldn't even know. We don't have anything to present to people. We're used to doing everything online. That's been the biggest thing right now.
Yeah.
Is that none of these people are used to doing that.
That's curious because I think, you know, both Rob and I over at Libsyn, you know, we understand the value of that face to face and I asked Angelo, I says, let's just, we went into the online system and we looked at our literature and I said, does anything need to be tweaked? And we're like, nope, that looks good. That's still on message. All right, let's, you know, print me 1,000 copies and, you know, let's rock and roll with this thing. And so, it's good. And you know, and I think too, for some of these companies, they need to realize, and I also realize too, as part of the value of going to an event like this, is not necessarily to make a lot of sales. The value for us is to wave the flag. Hey, we're here. You know, we're here. We're alive. We're part of your community. We want to talk to you. If you got issues, do you want us to do something? You know, some of our best ideas for stuff that we're working on this year came right out of people walking up the booth and saying, hey, I got a problem and this is what I want. We're like, oh yeah, that's a good one. Let's write that down. And it, you know, made our top 10 list. So, I think that's part of it too, is if people understand, they just have to have a presence to say, yeah, I'm here. You know, we're still alive and in business. Cause if you're not there, you know, you're not there.
Dan, one other thing that I might suggest as you think about the next event would be to start thinking a little bit more about kind of the business of podcasting, and having some topics and some areas and some panels, maybe, and some keynotes that kind of head down that path and kind of the blending between podcasting and the broadcast radio world. I think that as we move into this next year, I think just based on, you know, the things that I'm seeing happen, I think that's going to be a huge factor in the podcasting space as you start thinking about how on-demand audio starts to replace radio and what that is going to do to the big broadcast radio companies and how those folks are going to want to get involved in an event that helps them learn how to kind of blend what they're doing into on-demand audio and podcasting more.
And you're so talking specifically appealing to those people as attendees?
Yeah, that and also topics. So you have a real advanced kind of business track around ad sales, around metrics, around localization, topics that are really, really advanced to larger shows, bigger networks, those kind of things, to get those folks kind of involved in your event. I think it's a piece that's going to become more important as we move into next year. It's probably not as important for this year, and I think that you're right on track. It's just that those topics, I think, are going to become more and more important. I don't know, Todd, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, and then, you know, based on who I'm doing a lot of business with this year, that community is...
it's growing.
Yeah, in a big way. And and what's interesting is they're spending, they don't, you know, I send them a proposal and like, oh, okay, here's a signature. You know, I don't get a buck on price. You know, they're willing to pay for services from a business standpoint that, you know, sometimes, you know, I have someone talking, I saw someone talking yesterday on the Google Plus forum. They're saying, well, I'm leaving Libsyn. I'm still going to, because I get free media hosting over here at this website, and I'm like, you know, be careful what you pay. You know, it's probably, you know, that was, you know, to me, I'm like, really, you know, and you know, Libsyn and our prices aren't that high, and this guy's gonna leave Libsyn just because he's got the challenge. You're building a media show, and you I'm thinking to myself, maybe we've got some of these same issues. When a person's not willing to spend a few dollars for their media hosting, they're not serious. And that's the perception people have had of this community for a while, is we're not, you know, people aren't serious about it, and the radio folks are.
Yeah, and Rob, kind of to your point about the whole getting the business side involved, that you're the second person in 2 days that I've talked to about that. PT Philip Taylor, that runs that Financial Bloggers Conference that I mentioned earlier, he started out just focusing on people who had their own personal blogs about personal finance. And he has now since moved to his target audience after 6 years are those people that are blogging for USAA.com or blogging for some of these things. So they're still bloggers, but they're blogging for the larger companies. And he is more focused on that side of the business now. And, you know, I think there's a happy medium there, and I definitely I appreciate your your advice on that, because I think that definitely is something. And I saw it at New Media Expo too. They had that additional track for that business side. And I don't think maybe they did the best job in terms of what was on that track, but the idea behind it is like what you're saying. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, as you kind of think about the opportunity for the event itself, I think you're going to be able to tap into other kinds of sponsors that maybe have deeper pockets that maybe want to help support the event, bring in kind of big name kind of talent and speakers that can keynote that will actually drive the industry forward from a business perspective, and it'd be a win-win for the overall industry and for your event too. And I think the New Media Expo kind of it is wading into those waters to some extent, but I think you have a unique opportunity because you're so focused on just podcasting.
And I think Gary knows, you know, I talked to you guys before, if you can get the vibe, if you can recreate the vibe, and Dan, I know you don't know what I'm talking about here, and hopefully Gary's shared this with you guys, but if you can recreate the vibe of the early days, this thing's going to explode. You know, because what we are is we are a very small niche community. We're actually very big, but we could grow this. And if you get that vibe right, I think you guys will nail it. And I know that's a big part of your guys' goal is to do that. And you know, main thing, have fun and see people we haven't seen. You know, as I've told other people that have managed session tracks, I'm like, the piece of advice I've always give folks for that is everyone has an agenda, including me. When a person is submitting a session track for an event, everyone has an agenda. And if you can wade through the folks that are truly there to help versus those there that are going there to promote, if you do a good job putting a session together and have a nice discussion, you'll get the promotion out of it, irregardless of whether you try to sell something or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But so many times, and I'm sure you've probably seen in your submission, someone's like, you're like, man, this is just a sales pitch, you know. And so I just tell people that are managing these schedules, just be aware, everyone has an agenda, and if you don't think they do, they're lying to you.
Yeah, if you don't think they do, you just haven't figured out what it is yet.
Right, exactly. So, if you can keep that in your head, then, you know, you'll do well. And it was one of the pieces of advice I gave Cliff when he was managing the New Media Expo track. I said the same thing. I said, hey, Cliff, you know, everyone's got an agenda, including me, so just wade through that stuff carefully, and you'll figure it out. So,
But Todd, the big message that you're really trying to say is, and this is the reality, I mean, we've both been doing kind of conferences and events like this for a long time, is you have to drive value to the attendees primarily,
right,
first, you know, as your priority, and then you kind of your business interests kind of
roll
along with that, not directly from that.
Yeah. You know, many of the consulting jobs I've got with corporate America that I go around and do my, and matter of fact, I'm going to be doing one in the fall again, another boot camp, is it's come from conferences where I've had a session and I've talked about stuff and then approached later. I've never advertised any of my consulting businesses, yet I have more consulting than I can handle. And I always laugh when people, and of course, here I am promoting my consulting, but you know, I go online and I see people actively pushing their consulting, and I'm like, okay, I don't know who you are. You haven't established yourself in this space. Are you really someone I can trust and listen to? And that's what largely people have to do during these events. And you'll see it, you know, you'll be in a session and someone will go sideways and half the audience will get up and leave. We definitely are vocal with your feet, but I think in your agreement you put some stuff in there about self-promotion and trying to prevent some of that stuff from going on.
Do our best. We'll see. Maybe I hope people will get up and leave if some of the people on stage start doing that, because that would be obviously things, like you said, they didn't agree to. So
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah.
Well, Rob, anything else before we're here almost at the top of the hour here before we kick Dan loose or?
I'm really impressed with what you guys have done with the event. I think it's fantastic. You know, I really like the site and your venue. I think you're on track to making a podcasting event that the community is going to be very, very supportive of. And I'm impressed with what you guys have done.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, if you've got 525 people and pushing towards 600, that's a pretty good number. It really is from a size point. And, you know, which, you know, as you guys get closer to the event, focus on getting people to mingle, you know, do whatever you can to do that interaction and get people to move out. Cause what you're going to see is people cluster up.
Oh yeah. And, just like high school, right?
Yeah. It's just like high school. So, if you can get them to not cluster up and move around and socialize and, yeah. And say
go
hi
mingle.
And I think it'll be good.
We won't put the chairs on either side of the room like the school dance, so where everyone sits on the other side and just stares at each other. We'll try to avoid that.
Yeah.
Well, so. I think that, you know, it's a good point because I think that like Dan, you said earlier, there's a lot of new people that are in this space now, and there's a lot of old timers like Todd and I that we don't know them, right?
Yeah.
Both of us would love to know them more.
If you have some way where you could have something on the website where the participants could register and put their profiles, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. So we're doing that with the app. The email should go out to everyone, sponsors, participants, speakers, attendees, all of that. And that has a web-based platform as well. So that'll do that somewhat.
Good.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's a good thing to get going as early as possible.
Because, you know, what I'll do is I'll go through those profiles and I'll say, need to talk, and I'll make a list and I'll go, you know, I'll go hunt those people down. And especially if there's a picture associated, a current picture, and oftentimes pictures aren't current, but, you know, I try to track people down and look for a name and, at least the wise conference goers will have a plan of attack to use their time wisely. But anyway, very, very cool. So folks, podcastmovement.com is the place to go. It's the place to see everything that's forthcoming in this upcoming event. Of course, Rob and I will both be there. And actually, I'm going to, you know, I didn't realize you guys had exceeded 500 people. I may have to call in some reinforcements and ask one of our additional Raw Voice people to come out to the event because... I don't know if I can handle 500 by myself. That's a handful. So
you can handle it, Todd. Yeah, I know.
Well,
you can.
Yeah, and we'll have no voice. So
it's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
right?
It is a good problem to have. And Rob, any closing thoughts before we?
Well, like I said, I think it's great, and I'm going to be supportive of the event and out there and excited. I'm all booked to be there. I'm not going to be there on Friday night for the festivities, but I'll be there all day Saturday and Sunday.
I think I get in Friday morning because flying the red eye out. So if you need any extra help midday Friday, Dan, just don't be afraid to holler. I'll be happy to come over and give you guys an extra hand if you need so.
Well, thank you. We will be there in the thick of it all day Friday, I'm sure. So that's part of it. Thanks for having me and thanks for the kind words and the advice, guys. I really appreciate the time and having me back on. And it was a little different conversation this time than last time, because last time we, you know, it was still just in the idea almost phase. So now it's actually coming to shape and shaping up.
Yeah, it's great. Yep. And look forward to seeing you and the team out there August 15th, 16th, and 17th in very hot Dallas, Texas. It'll be...
But very indoors for a very indoors event.
That's right.
If you have to deal with the 100-degree weather, it will be the dash between the venue and whatever, you know. So, yeah. But it's a dry heat.
That's what they say.
Yeah, right.
No. All right, Dan, thanks so much.
All right, okay. Thanks. And I'll do the old radio thing and say I'll hang up and listen to the rest.
All right, take care.
Okay, all right, see you guys. Dan,
take care.
Well, it looks like they really dialed it in there.
Yeah. No, I think for a first-year event, I think they're well on track. And I'm excited to see it. I mean, I've been wanting to see an event like this really take shape. And I think early on, I think that there was just more questions than there was answers.
Yeah.
And I think that it's starting to really shape up, and it slipped right in there, you know, in a good timing, and you know, with this gap between the New Media Expo. And I'm just curious to see what the impacts are on the New Media Expo, or if that's going to continue to charge forward and keep expanding and doing well for the space. And I mean, I want to be supportive of that event as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I mean, it's looking like that there's an alignment with the National Association of Broadcasters pending.
Yep.
There, and
yep.
And I think that's all good, and that kind of gets back to what I was commenting to Dan about kind of this radio kind of aspect that's coming to podcasting that we have yet to really see impacted, but there's just so much money over there and so much bigger business players that could really drive a lot of sponsorship and a lot of kind of participation at a completely different level. That's... I think a lot of the old timers and a lot of the people that are used to the podcasting space as it has been may not necessarily like what's coming in some ways.
Yeah, I've actually heard some people complaining about it. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, why you're complaining that the radio people are coming? Come on, that's when the money comes, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that, and also, you know, those people want to learn how to learn from us, learn from the podcasters. Yeah. How to do what they do better.
Yeah.
You know, sure, it's going to bring a little more competition because those guys are known for creating content.
Yeah.
And they just have been challenged around the technology part that all of us podcasters understand.
Yeah.
You know, that's the world that I live in every day at Podcast One, is trying to bring those worlds together. So I'm kind of sitting at the crossroads of that and taking all the bullets that come from trying to blend those two worlds together, because it's not an easy world to blend with.
Right.
Because there's principles that are different, there's distribution approaches that are different, the content has to be a little different, and a lot of those guys are resistant to making those kind of changes.
You know, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I'm actually excited, but at the same time concerned, and I'll say why. There's been a few, how do I say this, loose cannons. I'm seeing some old confusion points being brought up that have been well dealt with before. I'm seeing people that are all of a sudden getting into the space that I think are, it's hot again, so opportunists are back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that concerns me, because, you know, opportunists, the consulting will be great because the opportunists usually end up totally screwing things up for people. Mm-hmm. And we end up having to come back behind them and fix it. But, there's just been a lot of activity. You know, there was a new app that was announced, Overcast.
Yep.
Was announced. It got a huge write-up in,
yep.
But I looked at the app and I really don't know if this is really making new ground at all. I was kind of like
Marco's app. Yeah. Marco.
Yeah. What did you think of the app?
I think it was good. Marco has a pretty good understanding. I thought the app was pretty complex. But yet simple at the same time. I think he kind of walked that line. There's things going on in the app that aren't really clear about what the heck they really are.
Yeah.
He's got like this whole smart speed thing, which makes me wonder if he's pre-caching content.
Right. Me too.
So I think that there's some question marks around that app. I know I talked to Marco in the early days when he was planning this app and was asking him about video, right?
Yeah.
And he basically said that he didn't feel like he had the expertise to build an app that was able to adequately handle video and audio, so
right.
He just wanted to focus on audio. And so I mean, it was an interesting conversation. I've had a talk with you know, him about coming on the show, and I think he's going to do that. Okay. And I'm going to ask him to come on here in the next few weeks to talk about his app. So I think it'll, you know, it's great to see a guy like him jump into the space and put his brain power to it. I mean, he invented, you know, what was involved in creating, you know, Tumblr. And so, yeah. I mean, he's a very good programmer and builds great software. So, it's exciting to see him get into the space.
You would have done it for Android.
He's a big Apple fan. So I think he saw, you know, I think he was more familiar with the Apple side and kind of, you know, he's an Apple user himself. So I think he kind of gravitated that way. But yeah, Android continues to be a platform that gets kind of ignored in the podcast area. And I think it's, there needs to be a little bit of a focus there, and a breakthrough needs to happen. And I'm not sure who's going to do that, you know, BeyondPod and Stitcher are trying to make a play there. And, you know, like we said, it would be fantastic to see Apple iTunes over there. But
yeah,
I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah, we'll see. And if it does, I think it'll be a game changer.
Yeah.
Also, we've seen a rash of people having feed burner issues.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah. And
what's the issues primarily that you guys are seeing?
People need to quit using SmartCast on FeedBurner. That's just...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't use it all. Yeah. I don't use SmartCast. I know it kind of messes stuff up.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people have been using it, and basically there's been some translation issues with the descriptions and that type of stuff being imported correctly. So it's just, you know, it's another platform that continues to take a nosedive in the quality and how it works. And, you know, we for a long time have had the message of don't use FeedBurner anymore. Just get away from it. Run. And, you know, if you're on it, we're not telling you have to move, but we definitely, you know, well, actually we are. We're telling people that are on it now, you probably should move. And
so I'll try and get a hold of somebody over at Google, and who knows, maybe I can get them to come on the show
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought
is
about...
Is there anybody even work in that division? If that's the thing, I think this thing just runs on autopilot.
Well, there's got to be somebody over there that is responsible for it. So, I mean, you can't just have a service that runs at that scale and not have anybody, you know, like a program manager or somebody like that kind of is keeping an eye on it. So it would be great to have some sort of a feedback to the community around what's going on with that particular product. So I'll try and find somebody.
Okay.
I mean, because I think it's an interesting conversation just around Google, just in general, around what their thoughts are of the whole on-demand audio space and why the heck aren't they involved in it, you know? Yeah.
And you're right. It'd probably be good to have them on. It'd be nice if we could get some on with their, do like a dual header, someone from FeedBurner and someone from, someone from their Android division, and where we could, you know, they gotta know.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I think it's similar to what happened with my experience at Microsoft is that it's just one of those areas that they just figure that the, you know, independent developers would fill in the gap for them, and they wouldn't have to deal with it.
Right. Right.
And what they're going to find out, and this is what happened to Microsoft, is that the developers just didn't do it.
Yep. And you know, don't get me wrong, the couple of the apps are pretty good, but you know, and I keep talking with my team. I'm like, do we need to spend a month and kick one, you know, kick a general app out? And you know, I don't know if we're the ones to do it, or you know, I don't know. It's definitely a concern for us, because I see where we're missing. Well, we've talked about on the show before, and I won't go in anymore. Their Android community is missing, and they say they're here, but the stats don't prove it out.
No. And Todd, it needs to be a pretty big player that that comes in and kind of leads that area in its growth and development. Because it, you know, a small player like an Overcast or even Stitcher is just not a big enough player to pierce through the attention cloud that kind of lives around that platform.
Yeah. And you need someone to get some, you know, good placement and, you know, the whole nine yards on the Android store as well. Hey, just mention we launched this after our last show, but we did introduce our no-fault hosting over at Blueberry. And this enhancement really allows our podcasters of hosting with us to go 25% over their storage limit on any given month. And so far, I told Angela in a few days, we'll start seeing some of those announcements where people run up against their storage limit. And basically, we send them an email saying, hey, you've got this much left and this much you can use over. And the response from the community was pretty strong on that. I probably got 30 or 40 emails from customers saying thank you. And they just financially couldn't afford to go to the next hosting level, but yet they didn't really need that next hosting level. So it's worked out well for us from a community standpoint. So it's pretty happy about that. New resource online called podcastpedia.org. Have you heard about this one?
No, I haven't, but I got an email from a fellow that's running at the podcastreporter.com, I think is another one.
Oh, really? So let me...
That popped up.
Let me look at that one.
Yeah, I did an interview with them here recently. And I thought they were going to talk to you too.
Yeah, I think they did. I wonder if is this the same guy? You know, okay, here it is. Podcast Reporter. Looks like it's a podcast and it's a blog.
Yep.
So yeah, I think this is the guy that was a little surprised when we relaunched Podcaster News. Maybe it was the same guy. And but they have, there's somebody that emailed me. I CC'd you on an email I got from a guy that is going to be, they're trying to put together a big resource.
I can't remember off the top of my head here.
Yeah, they're not quite ready, I don't think, to launch. I got another email from, I really asked their business model because they wanted to link to a bunch of stuff and it's like, okay, you know, what are you guys actually doing? And, you know, the last thing I want to do is promote a service that is going to be used against me, I guess, for a better word.
Todd, I wanted to ask you too, you know, everybody's saying that the whole podcast space is just kind of in a renaissance right now. What do you think is really driving that? I can't say that there's anything that I can point to specifically that this happened and it caused all this to kind of develop, but it just feels like that there's this momentum and I'm not sure where it's coming from.
I don't know either. I'm just, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm actually looking at things we're doing to make sure that we're staying relevant. And, you know, because I'm looking at some of the announcements coming out and I'm saying, okay, yep, we can meet that. We can meet that, you know, from a business standpoint. So I don't know. And, here's the thing we have, I hate to say it, Rob, there's a lot of distrust in this space to newcomers because we've seen people come and go. Mm-hmm. And I welcome new people coming online and new networks, and I like to see all this stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I think we've got a lot of new people that I hope will take some time and learn the lessons that have already been learned and not repeat those. But
how are they going to do that, Todd? You know, there isn't really like a resource that, you know, before you start podcasting, go read this. You know, it doesn't really exist like that.
Yeah. So, and it's like, here's this business model that failed or whatever. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, those that have been around a long time in this space, you know, can see this, you know, it's almost like a wave action, right?
Yeah.
things come and go. And people try the same things that were tried a couple of years ago. They try it again thinking it's new, and it's not, but they don't even realize it, yeah. Right? And maybe those old new things can work now because it's a different environment. It's not kind of smoke and mirrors like it was back in 08. You know, I mean, I think that the podcast community and the podcast space early on was a lot of hype and not a lot of substance back then. I mean, let's be honest about it. Yeah. I mean, back when it started, it was like, you know, on the cover of Wired magazine showed a bullet going through a radio, and it's like, you know, 10, 11 years later, we're just now starting that process of trying to replace radio with this. And it's like, you know, you just got to back up and realize that this is a new medium, and it's going to take 10 or 15 years for it to find its legs.
Right.
And I mean, it's been a toddler for most of its life, you know, and now we're starting to become a, you know, a teenager, and maybe in the next couple of years, it's going to become a, you know, it's going to reach age, you know, of 18 or something.
Hey, Rob, so, the podcast reporter is Fred. I didn't realize it was Fred. Yeah, he's actually Fred. Said it in the chat room. Actually, I'm going to talk with him here after this show. I'm going to interview with him. So the other guy that we're talking about was not him. It was, what was this guy's name?
That was involved in that email you sent me?
Yeah.
That you're talking about?
I'd have to go look name. In my email. Me too. So, yeah, Fred's a long time well known in the space. So,
yep.
All right, cool. All right. So now I know who's okay. Too much stuff going on. Way too much.
It's all a good thing.
Yeah, it's all good. So, it's this other guy was the one that was concerned about us doing a podcast or news. So, but Fred's actually doing podcast interviews and stuff, doing interviewing folks that are at that event. So, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's talking to old timers like us, trying to do exactly like I think what you were talking about, trying to bring a little bit of history and perspective to where we've been, and hopefully people won't make the same mistakes, or they'll understand why what's happening today is happening today.
Yeah. Well, it's in perspective is needed. You know, and this, you know, here's a typical thing that I'm seeing, like in one of the forums. It said a client recently asked me why they should care about file size for the podcast. I stumbled on the question. The only answer I could come up with was from the perspective podcast host, to keep your podcast under upload limits of the hosting plan. Why shouldn't we just use 320 kilobits per second for the encoding? And, you know, it's like, this is well long known, and here's, you know, And he immediately got 10 responses from people saying, don't forget about people in other countries. You got to, you know, if you're on your mobile plan, you know, da, 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 you know, all those reasons why you should be like 96 to 128 and not overkill at 320 kilobits. So, you know, I'm glad they're asking the question for sure. Yeah. But it's this type of thing. And, you know, there was a big thread on Facebook yesterday about, client said, no one cares about podcasting. I'm like, well, why are 65 million plus people listening to podcasts every month? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, people
can you answer
don't,
that question.
Yeah. People don't care.
Yeah. And then also the whole thing of stereo versus joint stereo, right? There's a lot of people that don't understand that distinction too. Yeah. There's a lot of people that just do stereo and don't realize that their file size basically double.
Yeah.
And where if they did joint stereo, it'd be half the size, but it would sound like stereo. So, yeah. I mean, it's just these little things that, and tricks that new people just don't know about, that can make a huge difference in how much bandwidth they use, how much file storage that they have. They're just tricks. And I know a lot of consultants, podcast consultants, try and help with this stuff,
right.
But if they're a new podcast consultant and they don't know these things, then, you know, I think it raises a lot of questions. I know that there's been a lot of talk here recently about, you know, people doing it. I know, like, the feed with Rob Walsh and you know, the kind of Lipson podcast, they've been talking about, you know, podcast consultants, can you really trust them?
Right.
Especially if they've never really done a successful podcast themselves, you know.
Well, I've, you know, for a while there, couple of years, the majority of my business was cleaning up the mess of podcast consultants, specifically one or two. And those consultants are no longer consulting.
They probably couldn't get any more work, right?
Right, right. You know, so, but, you know, going back to the whole Renaissance thing, a lot of movement, a lot of stuff going on. And it'll be curious to see what happens in the space. And, you know, some of these are businesses, and businesses take resources. And are they going to be able to have enough, get up to enough speed to pay the bills to, you know, to keep generating revenue and to stay ahead of the curve? You know, that's been the challenge for everybody the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting time. You know, there was one other site that launched. I couldn't find it in the archive anywhere. And it was in one of the Google Plus forums. I was digging for it, and I couldn't. I know Daniel Lewis did something, some sort of directory too. And but yeah, there was just lots of stuff that people are trying. And it's good. It brings awareness. But I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, what do you attribute it to? Anything? Can you attribute to? Yeah, I think you already said you can't really lock it down, right?
Well, you can't. And I think the only explanation I can come up with is that it's been kind of just little things that have happened. You know, I think it started with the comedians and then it's kind of branched out into other genres of content starting to come into the space. Other companies that are bringing in kind of, you know, you're seeing, you know, fairly high level celebrity participation in the space. And I think, you know, press has been happening. There's more and more kind of mainstream mention of podcasts, you know, content. You know, I know that Podcast One is driving some of that. And I think that it's just building, little things building over time that are driving this. And I think a lot of business people are seeing, you know, we've been all focused on video and its spike in growth, and the kind of audio side has been neglected, and it's been perceived as an opportunity, you know?
Right.
It's like we've run out of things to actually kind of move to the next level, and audio seems like it's the next one that didn't evolve on online. You know, written word is pretty much matured. Video is pretty much matured. Instant communications have pretty much matured. The web and app side is matured. The thing that's missing is the maturation of on-demand audio. So, you know, I just think maybe it's at its time when it has to happen.
You know, audio is pretty simple. So, you know, the consumption of it is not at all complex, and every player and every device known to man will consume audio and would before video. So, you know, and that's where I've always laughed at, you know, we've talked about this many times too, is that, you know, audio pays the bills, video is fun to do.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, if you use a little bit of the same analogy with, you know, what's happening to broadcast television, and you look at broadcast radio, they're kind of holding on to their current models, right? Because there's a lot of money there, though it's declining. There's a lot of money there, and they're holding on. I see broadcast television and radio as being very similar in some ways, of holding on and not fully 100% on board with the on-demand stuff. And they, you know, but I think at some point there's going to be a breakthrough where those models have to change. And it just feels like that the audio and the radio side is probably going to happen before the television side.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I think we had already talked about the iOS 8. The podcast app will be native. It'll be pre-installed. That's going to help the base tremendously. Yep. You know, people are going to say, what is this? And it's, you know, people are really at that point, a big opportunity to be, you know, prominent in the iTunes store. It's going to be more important than ever when people are searching for content for the first time. But definitely it's, you know, I just wish I could put my finger on what's driving it. But, you know, maybe it's got to the point where we are mainstream now. Maybe we're not, you know, maybe that's what the deal is. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, we're legitimate now, right? We're a mainstream medium now. And I think we need to start, you know, treating it as such.
I think we are treating it as such. Mm-hmm. But you and I both look at it from a business perspective. You know, the podcaster looks at it completely from a different angle. They look at it from a
content perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And so that's the transition that I was trying to communicate to Dan too, is that, that's a factor, you know, and it's going to happen whether or not the community wants it to happen.
Yeah.
And we all need to kind of embrace it, because it's going to be a positive thing for the community over the long run. And it's coming. And do we want to be a part of it or do we want to resist it?
Yeah.
I think is the bigger question.
Did you hear about the Podbean announcement?
No, I didn't. Huh.
So, you know, equal opportunity here because we are covering new media. So Podbean, which is a vertical platform, you're there, you have to deal with what they have. They're often now listen to this, Rob, now, because someone could hurt these guys hard. Unlimited uploads of audio for $8 a month, unlimited uploads for video $18 a month.
Wow.
Okay, so if I put my main show, do they realize how much video costs to deliver?
Yeah.
And with the true price of bandwidth, I'm not sure how anyone can give unlimited video for a price they're offering. You know, my personal show, my Geek News Central show uses 40 terabytes a month. Now, you do that? You know what bandwidth cost?
Yeah. Well, it's all about scale, right?
Well, it's about scale for sure. But even at scale, even when you are scaled to the point of getting, you know, your bandwidth at a couple of cents a gig, you know, let's just do the quick math here. 40 TB equals gigabytes. And that's 40,000 gigabytes. So let's, you know, let's just do the quick math here. At 40,000.
Or 40 terabytes.
Yeah. At 40,000 gigabytes. Let's say you are working with a company that's providing you, you know, Amazon, you know, you're probably talking 7-8 cents a gig for your bandwidth. But let's just say you're getting really good pricing, and let's say you're getting 4 cents. That's $1,600 a month.
Yeah,
for one show.
Yeah,
you know, and you put that into some perspective when you have multiple, you know, people here free. You know, I know people sell their brother for free to do for video. You know.
Yeah, but so there's no limit on storage for that $18 a month?
Nope.
There's no limit on bandwidth or anything?
Nope.
Huh.
You know, and to me,
I hope they have deep pockets.
Me too. And again, no one knows who these guys are. You know,
I've never spoken to anyone ever from Podbean, have you?
No one knows who they are. So, you know, to offer that level of a, you know, of a hosting offering, to me, I would be freaked out. It's a pretty interesting price model. That's all I can say. That's not sustainable. It's not. If I offered it that pricing, it wouldn't work. It just would not work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
But see, you know, get in the space.
It's stuff like that makes me go, huh? You know.
Yeah.
Either that or their profit margins are so huge on their other shows that they can make up the difference.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a bunch of, you know, low downloaded or streamed shows right. on there, they're paying $18 a month. It could work out. You know,
but that takes a lot of $5 and $10 account shows yeah. to make up that difference. You know,
yeah,
you know, that's some pretty interesting data. And also we'll have to see what kind of performance that they get.
Yeah, well, that's the other part too. Is it throttled?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a lot like Mevio was for many years?
Right. Yeah.
Where it was like trickling out of there.
Yeah. and you would just see the spinning wheel all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so anyway, what's going on? Have you guys been busy over there?
Oh, at Podcast One? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're playing around in the whole celebrity space, which is always an interesting thing. We've got... And you know, we just launched a Snooki podcast.
Yeah. So how's have you met Snooki?
I have not. She actually lives on the East Coast. So, but her show's doing very well, I have to say.
Oh, good.
And it's huge, but it's also what's really interesting about it is that it's done extremely well off of iTunes. So
off of iTunes.
Off of iTunes, not directly on. I mean, it hasn't done fantastic on iTunes specifically. It's been just kind of a normal show. But off iTunes is where it's done outstanding.
So the people are just going to her website and streaming the show? Or
social media, yeah. So I think it's a bellwether for what's going on here.
Well, you know, she's got, well, how many followers does she have? Let's just look up.
Well,
on,
she's got 12 million likes on Facebook.
Well, that's why, you know, she's got the volume. So
that's right. And 6 million Twitter followers.
Yeah. So
she's got a strong following. She's got a strong following that either hates her or loves her.
Well, if anyone that has that level of a following, they have to, there's no reason why they can't be successful.
That's right. That's right. But it's been fascinating to see the success off of iTunes.
Right.
For an on-demand, online-only
right.
show. Right.
That's
so,
good.
So I think it's a really good sign that it's possible to have a very successful show with a big celebrity that is successful off of iTunes, which tells me that it's a different demographic
right.
that she's going after.
Well, I can't imagine me listening to Snooki's show.
No, I mean it's probably not a typical Apple user type of program.
It's probably a 18 to 22. I can't imagine older than that.
And her first, it's been kind of a solo show up to this point. Her first big guest that's coming up, and it's going to be a major feature in the iTunes platform. She's going to have Perez Hilton on the show with her. So you kind of combine him with her and you've got quite a kind of convergence of followers. Let's put you that way.
Yeah. I'm glad you're having to deal with that.
Hey, it's just a podcast to me. You know, it's not my cup of tea, that's for sure. But you know, I think it hits at the core of popular culture somewhat.
Right.
For a certain kind of younger kind of generation. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating and I think it's really, really interesting. It's certainly not geeky content. You know, Snooki talks about her baby and her family life and what it's like to be a young mom. And that's what she's tapping into.
Hey, Rob, next thing we're going to do is you're going to be in the celebrity circles. We're going to have to, bring you out to Dallas and have you mingle with the common folk while you're
common
out here.
Folk. Yeah, well, you know, I haven't really gotten sucked up into that.
I know. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, I still live in Seattle and go back and forth, but it's definitely a different world down there, no question about it. I mean, it's fascinating to see that world kind of you know, kind of come into this space and become a, you know, like we had Cameron Diaz on a program here recently, and it's just a parade of celebrities coming in. And I think it's all good because it drives attention from a different kind of listener base, potential, you know, audience that I don't believe was really following podcasting to the extent. And it could be part of this resurgent and kind of thing that's happening, is because the topics, you know, it's like when we launched Wrestlers.
Yep.
That was a genre that wasn't done, you know, and it's had huge success. And we continued, you know, like we launched just this past week, we launched a podcast for the Clark Howard Show, which has been a very popular radio show, nationally syndicated show, that's also had a very good podcast following too.
Right.
And we basically took his podcast and kind of put our juice behind it, and our marketing and our graphics and our kind of focus on podcasting, and created it's basically a 2-hour radio show that we condensed into one episode each week, each day. And it really turned it into a podcast. And I think it's going to do outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's positioned right. You know, Clark is such a personable guy. It would be great to have him like come on even this show to talk about the kind of this blending that's happening on the on-demand audio side and podcasting side. And I'm going to keep bringing guests on like this as they become available, as we kind of move more into the broadcast radio space, and see how these shows can be blended together with broadcast, with podcasting, and see how the content evolves. It's going to be a little different.
Yep. Hey, Rob, we're already...
We're well over.
Well over. So,
yep.
Hey, everyone, folks, we're glad to be back, and we'll be back next week. You've got a guest lined up next week already, right?
I do. I have the guy that runs the AfterBuzz TV network down in L.A.
Yeah, good.
So he's going to come on and talk about fan bases and you know, kind of fan podcasts.
Okay.
And because they've focused primarily on doing shows about TV shows.
Cool. And also, I think maybe by next week, if everything goes right, we will be on our own site. I'm
really
hoping, yeah,
that's
we're really close.
Thank you, Angelo.
It's Angelo's under a little pressure right now because I'm launching new shows on Geek News Central next week, and the template has to be done. So
the hammer's come down, right?
Yeah, not the hammer, just the pleading.
No, I know. You're begging, please.
Yeah,
please.
And we got just way a lot going on right now, so it's a good thing. But anyway, Todd@newmediashow.com or Rob@newmediashow.com. Feel free to send us your comments and tips or things that you think's going on in the space. Your feedback on what we've been talking about, and we hope that you'll, if you're a podcaster, that you'll join us at, or even if you're not, consider going out to Dallas to the Podcast Movement event at. And go to podcastmovement.com, get registered today. Really inexpensive. Dallas is the middle of America, so you can get there from anywhere on any airline. So we hope that you will you'll join us.
Yeah, it was only like, I think a round trip was only like $300 or something like that to go from Seattle to well, actually, I'm flying from L.A. to Dallas
and
back.
Well, lucky you, because I'm flying from Honolulu, and it was, as normal, $1,100. So
yeah, well, you know, you're more committed than I am.
Yeah, but it's all on where you live. But anyway, the audience, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time, and we'll be back with you next week. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.